buckle your seatbelt. It's time for another episode of the Prepper Recon Podcast.
Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPPERRECON for 5% off your order at CampingSurvival.com.
Get prepared before disaster strikes. PREPPERRECON.com offers Molly-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, steri strips, tourniquet, tough strip bandages, and so much more. $99 includes shipping. Go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is the second half of my interview with Eve Gonzalez of TradingPostInTheWoods.com. Enjoy the show. What's the worst disaster you've responded to?
You know, it's funny because I would say there have been two different types of disasters. One that, from a physical standpoint, was very challenging, and then from an emotional standpoint. So understand that I am, unfortunately, used to seeing dead bodies in disasters. That's what we go in, and there are, you know, dead bodies. We're looking for the live ones. Whether, you know, when you look at a thing like the earthquakes or tsunamis and stuff like that, everybody, you know, we have a goal, and our goal is to find and help as many people as we possibly can, and to try to help bring people back into a state of being where they realize that they survived and they're going to be okay. Physically, each one in its own, every different disaster is grueling in its own way, and challenging in its own way. But, emotionally, I will tell you, it happened to be one in the United States of America that from an emotional standpoint, I came home and I thought, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I don't know if I can go back out there and help, because people don't want to take the responsibility to help themselves. And so, you know, people died needlessly, and that's the hardest part, is when you see people who died needlessly because they didn't pay attention to what was going on. They didn't heed the evacuation warning. They didn't prepare anything, and you know, they see the water rising and they believe it's going to go away, and it doesn't, and they lose their life, and it's really hard. But the last event was really hard because Americans were not giving in order for us to do our jobs. People in the disaster areas were not prepared. They didn't have food. They didn't have sufficient water. They didn't have medicine. And so we walk in there and they're like, I have to have my medication. And we just don't carry medication with us to be able, in foreign countries, we can do that. In America, we cannot. And, you know, so everybody is looking at you going, give me, give me, give me. And so from an emotional standpoint, it was really tough on me and the team that went in there, because people were just emotionally devastated and emotionally blaming us. They would look at us and go, but it's your responsibility. It's your responsibility. Why don't you bring it to us? It's the government's responsibility. Why aren't they bringing it to us? When are we going to get it? Tell us when we're going to get it. And so they just really start picking on you to want this stuff and get angry. And instead of looking at it and going, you had warning, you didn't evacuate, you chose not to prepare, you didn't learn any skills, you did not do. Why are you blaming everybody else? And so that's the emotional hard part for us. It's always very sad to see the loss of life. It is, especially when that loss of life did not have to happen. it's very hard to deal with screaming people, hundreds and hundreds of people screaming, wanting the stuff off your truck. We've been shot at in disaster areas, but we're trained for that. And so we know how to handle that. But I was not prepared to see over the last 11 years how the mindset of Americans have changed to go from, let me help my neighbor, to why isn't my neighbor helping me? And
that's
so for me, that from an emotional standpoint, that was the hardest one, to sit there and go, you know, is this the same America I knew 11 years ago? And I love America, and I believe that there are so many God-fearing, God-loving people in this country. And I think people are just become so fatigued of being taken advantage of that they have just stopped giving or really caring in a way. And so for all the people listening to this, if you are loving your neighbor and loving those people and you are trying to help in every way you can, thank you. Thank you. But if you are of the mindset of going, you know what, I don't need to help anybody, they need to help me, then this is your wake-up call, because from what we're seeing, fewer and fewer people are giving, which means there's less for us to take in, which should tell you that if a disaster happens, you should expect nobody to be coming to your aid. And that's just reality.
Wow. It's very sobering, and I think that you're really speaking to a lot of people that don't think America's like that. They think that everybody just comes together and I've got an extra can of tuna and you've got an extra pack of crackers and we're going to share and just get the guitar out and build a bonfire at night and sing Kumbaya. I think that you're shocking a lot of people with what you're telling them. Now, which disaster was this, the one that you're telling, the last one that you were
the
in?
The last one, it actually was the flooding in South Carolina. When we were speaking beforehand, after we had responded there, and I walked into my house, and my husband and my son and my daughter were all waiting for me to return, and I walked into my house and they all looked at me and they're like, Mom, are you okay? And I said, no, don't talk to me right now. The devastation was not as severe as like something like the earthquake or a tsunami or anything like that. Emotionally, it was devastating to see the heart of the people. And yet there were pockets of people wanting to help. And trying to help people. But there were so many that it becomes very cutthroat. And people, you know, the first 2, 3, 4 days, people try to help one another. But when it starts to go on and you do not have, or you're running out and your neighbors run out and everything, that's when it starts to get pretty ugly. And we actually had a man come after Katrina. A man came to our booth, and I asked him if he was prepared. He said, you betcha. He goes, I learned my lesson once, and I'm never going through that again. He was not hit directly by Katrina, but he lived in a small town outside of Katrina. What people don't realize is that your gas and food and stuff may not come into your town. If you're in a good area, in the outskirts or whatever, a lot of stuff is rerouted into the disaster areas. Okay, we need your gas. Okay, we need the gas to get in there and do disaster relief and stuff. Well, what I did not know is in this one town, for over 3 months, they didn't get gas or food. And this man said that it got so bad in their town that over 50% of the people left when they were finally able to leave. They were siphoning gas out of people's cars just to try to get out to find food and water and supplies and stuff in other areas. And he sat there just telling horrible stories of what happened, at the devastation that happened in this town after Katrina hit. And he said, and we didn't even take a direct hit. And he said, but we were devastated. And that stuff like that does happen. And when something's on a wide scale, a few days people are really good. But after that, you know, people start wondering, how are they going to survive? And if all you have, you know, Mark, like if I, let's take you. Okay, Mark, you have 2 weeks' worth of food. And you have 16 people coming to your door, knocking on your door, going, hey, we've run out of food. Will you help us? What's your answer going to be? You're going to have to start against survival.
Yeah, I can't do it. That's logistically impossible. If I've got 2 weeks for one person and 16 people come, I've got 1 day for 14 people. I wouldn't be able to do it anyway.
Not at all. And if you even tried, I would have to yell at you and go, what are you thinking? Because I tell people, you know what? And this is where I will get into trouble with pastors. I tell people, you prepare for you and your family, and then you set aside a certain amount of stuff to help your neighbors with. And buy seeds, buy lots of seeds, okay, because you can give them seeds and have them. They can sprout, and they can get nutrition and stuff from that as well. But you predetermine what you're going to do. And then, you know what, then they have the same capability of preparing as you do right now. They have the same opportunity. God is affording everybody the same potential to prepare and to have a game plan and pay attention to what's going on in this world. And for people who don't have a lot of money, you know what? I tell people there are a lot of ways that you can prepare. You just have to look at how you are spending your money and you reallocate the waste. Because, you know, a lot of people waste money, and it's what's important to you. So, you know, we get people being a nonprofit who will go, I can't buy milk for my children, but they have milk for cigarettes and alcohol and card games and everything else. They just, it's what they want to spend their money on. They don't want to spend their money on the milk. So, so everybody is responsible for themselves, but then you go, you know what, as God would want, let me set aside other things to try to help my neighbors. And then, you know, but at some point you have got to take care of you and your family. And it is not your fault that others chose not to prepare. And that's why I tell people, it is not your fault. Do not give all your stuff away. Otherwise, you die right along with them.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proven to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on gold and silver. Check out Silver.com today. Ready Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at readymaderesources.com.
I think it's $8 for a 20-pound bag of rice at Walmart.
Yeah, it's really cheap.
It's 3 days. That's 2 weeks' worth of food.
Yeah. There is a lot of things that people can do to be prepared. And but you need to make that game plan. You need a game plan, and you need to set it into action and not wait. I'd like to tell people, you know what, there's no going back. And my daughter and I, for a book that I have coming out, my daughter and I did an experiment. A comment was made on a radio program I was doing that women who were middle-aged and single would die if a disaster happened. And I'm like, what? No, that's not true. And I told my daughter is 20, and I said, well, you do, no, I'm not single. I'm married and I have a son and a daughter, and my husband's alive and well, praise God. But I looked at my daughter and I said, will you do an experiment with me? Let you and I go into the woods and let's see what it would be like for two women to try to survive in the wilderness by ourselves. And on the very first day, wouldn't you know, everything that went wrong could have gone wrong. It had rained for a week. We had to we had to carry everything in into the wood area where we were going to be staying. We had mud up to our knees as we're trying to drag everything back there. The dog got into a skunk and was sprayed down, and it was just awful.
Did you take a GoPro?
I'm sorry?
Did you take a GoPro on this mission?
I just took my dog and my daughter.
But, I mean, you definitely should have had video footage of this. This is, I mean, this would have
For filming. I'm telling you, well,
this would have went viral.
Right. Okay, so it would have made quite the scene. The whole event would have. But what happened was that night we finally sat down and I looked at my daughter and I said, this is a moment in time. I would like to look at you and go, I quit. Let's abandon everything here. Let's tromp back out to where we had to abandon the car. Let's just go home. Well, you know what? This was just an experiment anyways. But I looked at her and I said, but if this had been a true disaster, there would be no just quitting. There would be no turning back the clock or going back. I said, we would be stuck in the situation that we are faced in, and we have to deal with it. And I said, so are you game to keep on going? And she said, yes, Mom. And so we did. And so the book really is about, you know, the journey and what women really can expect and how they can prepare themselves now for that hardship. That if you find yourself, you know, like if a disaster happens and you have to leave your home, and you find yourself out on the road or out in the woods or something, how do you survive? You don't have to die, but you do have to know what to do.
And what's the name of this book going to be?
I'm not releasing the name yet because I actually haven't named it.
Okay. Well, you let us know when
it's 3/4 of the way done. So when I have it, I will let you know.
And we'll get you back on the show to talk about that as well. Now, you said you've got another book out already. And what's the name of that one?
It's Preparation Made Simple.
And then, now you also made some cards that are also called Preparation Made Simple cards, and they're sort of like quick reference cards.
What I did was I thought, you know, a lot of people don't like to read. And if you're talking about preparedness, if people don't want to prepare, much less have to read a book on preparing. So I thought, you know, if we put it into cards to make it painless and laminate them so they could do one card a day, then we could get people prepared. And that card set has everything from what do you really need in your kits to what you don't need, different skills that you really need to know, information like how do you make a rehydration solution. Dehydration is a huge problem, especially if you're in warm areas after disaster or for people who eat the food that's gone bad in their refrigerator and they get food poisoning. You need to know how to do a rehydration solution. So we have, you know, how do you make that and everything. And so it's something that would fit into a go bag, really easy. But we tell people, if you are prepared, get it and use it as a checklist to make sure you haven't forgotten something. And if you haven't gotten prepared, then you buy it and use it, and it's one card a day. So we have it. It is going to be a downloadable app. We are setting up to do it as a downloadable app that they can pay for. It is going to be in book form, but my favorite is the card set because you can mark. It's laminated, so you can mark it with an erasable marker to use it for checking things off and stuff for it. But it does, you know, information like what is the paperwork that you really have to have if an evacuation is called. A lot of, you know, in order to return to your home, it's not just a driver's license. So people, you know, there's information in there. People really need to know that they just don't.
That's fantastic. So, now, I'm looking forward to meeting you in Atlanta. We're both going to be at the Preparedness Expo on April 23rd and 24th. Are you going to be speaking there?
I am going to be speaking there. I'm going to be doing two different trainings. Lessons learned from 18 major disaster zones, which is actually the name of the book of another book I have coming out, because so many people asked me to put my lecture into book form. So I'm doing that one, and then I'm doing one on alternative, medical alternatives, so that people know about homeopathy. Homeopathy is very important. Essential oil is very important. There's a lot of different alternatives that if people know how to use them, it's one more tool and one more skill to help them survive. And I tell people, if you're in a die or try situation, dying is not the option, so you had better try. So the more you've got in that kit of options, the better chance of survival you have. So I'll be doing that, you know, a class on that as well.
Now, how do homeopathic remedies differ from prescription medications?
Well, homeopathy has a great history. If you go back to the 1930s, when the FDA was established, they wanted to make certain that throughout all of history, Americans would know what a viable form of health care homeopathy was. So they established a book of provings, and we now call it the Materia Medica. Unfortunately, over all these years with traditional medicine, homeopathy has kind of been pushed out of the United States, and we're working hard to get it back in here. But homeopathy is basically natural medicine so homeopathy, it has no side effects. There are no side effects. It doesn't expire. You can learn how to do field remedies to make it in 20 minutes if you had to. So there are so many benefits to homeopathy, but it's like I tell natural medicine compared to a pharmaceutical one.
And you talked about when you were in some of these disaster zones, and I think particularly you were talking about South Carolina, and you had people – is that the one where you had people asking you for medications?
Yes, for medication, correct. And however, now,
what,
I can't – go ahead. I'm sorry.
What percentage of the people that are asking you for medication, how many of those are things that they're dependent on that they maybe didn't necessarily need to be dependent on? How much of that stuff is pain meds, and how much of that stuff is for like depression and things?
That is a big concern, and that's why I tell people you need to learn alternatives. When you think about the number of people who are on an antipsychotic drug for depression, or even insulin for type 2 diabetes, that is a for people. And what do you do? What do you do in a disaster if that disaster is going to go on for even for a few weeks, if people all of a sudden cannot get prescriptions? And, the people that we were working with in South Carolina, the hospital was closed, the pharmacies were closed, people didn't get refills before the flood happened. And so they were all needing stuff. And if you know alternative, you have options. And there's a lot of stuff, that people could start working on weaning themselves off if they wanted to. We don't, and let me make this disclaimer right away, we don't treat, diagnose, or prescribe, because we have to say that according to the FDA. But there are a lot of things that, as an American, you can do to help yourself prior to. And we have a woman that we have been working with for a while, and she was on 13 different medications, and she's now off all of them and doing excellent. So, a type 2 diabetes, I had a doctor tell me once, that's going to go away in a long-term disaster because people's diet and exercise is going to change. yeah.
It's a hard way to get cured, but – I guess it would work.
Yeah, but it's the truth. And so, we get people who are like, I've had people tell me, I don't prepare because I'm just going to die of type 2 diabetes. And I said, well, that's a wrong answer. I said, start working on the type 2 diabetes now. Have that type 2 diabetes go away by changing your diet and your exercise. And then you're not going to have to worry about it. You know, but if you know alternatives, you do have other options, and you certainly are going to want to be thinking about what are you going to do. If you know that all of your neighbors are on antidepressant drugs, what are you going to do to try to help them when their medication runs out? You know, they're going to be your neighbors, and they're going to be the ones standing by your side in a long-term disaster unless you leave them all. But what is your game plan? And that's something a lot of people don't think about. They don't look at that. So many people are just so used to taking antidepressants right now. And, you know, but what happens when all of a sudden that's gone? Are people going to turn to alcohol? Well, great. What happens when that's gone? You know, what are you going to turn to next? So you better have a game plan, and that's why that game plan is so important. And we tell people, evaluate every aspect of your life and even that of your neighbors, and go, what do you need?
And you've got a tab for Thrive Foods on the Trading Post in the Woods website.
Oh, we do have. Yeah, Thrive. Have you tried Thrive Food before?
I haven't tried Thrive, but I've tried some other ones, and I just think it's a great idea to have some. What do you like about Thrive?
Okay. Well, that's what we take into disasters with us for our team. We use the Thrive Food. I eat gluten-free, and so Thrive does certified gluten-free, which is very important to me. And you know, for anybody who has been diagnosed with celiac disease, you certainly want to make sure you are preparing and make certain you have certified gluten-free freeze-dried food. If you don't and they just tell you it's gluten-free but it's not certified, you could be in trouble. We have found companies out there who are claiming to be gluten-free, but we're not. So I just put that plug out there. What we did was our team sat down and we tried all the different kinds of freeze-dried food out there. And then we had to look and go, what tasted the best? What was most convenient? What could we eat out of a can so that we would not have to worry about starting a fire? I tell people there are different stages in a disaster area. There's a time period when it's okay to eat and cook your food and put that scent up into the air. But if a disaster is going to go on for a long period of time and people start running out of food, you don't want to be cooking food you might have. People can smell a mile away when they're hungry. So when you start putting odor up into the air, you're going to be having people knocking on your door. So you want a food that you can really eat right out of the can, and we do that with Thrive. A lot of their food we can just take right out of the can and eat out of the can. It tastes great, whether it's freeze-dried or reconstituted. You know, so it was what worked best for us. But I use it every single day. I just love the way it tastes. So we started offering it out online, and we do, for people who contact us or even come to convention, we actually have discounted kits that we offer to the people who are wanting to get prepared if they go ahead and contact us. And then we will send them what the discount kits are or give them a handout at convention and stuff. So, but Thrive Food is great. And I know at convention, a dear sweet friend of ours who does Thrive is going to be there as well. You know, so if people come to convention, they'll be able to go and talk with her as well. And she too will go ahead and offer those kits.
Yeah. A big part of our food storage is, stuff that we eat from day to day, but then we've got a huge stockpile of rice and beans because it's so cheap and so easy to store and it stores for so long. But freeze dried foods just like that, it will store for just about ever. Some of it's 25, 30 years. And especially if rice is a big part of your food storage plan, a couple cans of freeze dried soups to mix in with that rice to give it a little flavor,
right,
is really going to give you some variety, because somewhere around the fourth or fifth month of eating nothing but rice, you're going to get tired of it.
Well, and you know, something else you have to look at too, food fatigue. That's something else I talk about in my training classes, is that we have come across people who actually get food fatigue and they will starve themselves to death. The fact that people go, well, if you're hungry enough, you will eat it, is not true. You know, every parent does that to their child. Well, when they get hungry enough, they'll eat. But people will actually stop eating because they can't stand the taste any longer. And so they would prefer to go without eating. So making sure you have seasonings, making sure you have options. Rice, you need to make sure you put something else in there. Rice is great, but it's also very binding. So, you know, you certainly don't want to get bowel blockage because you've consumed so much rice.
Yeah, thus we have the beans.
So you want to make sure that you're throwing in there something in there to make sure that you're able to keep your bowels going, especially if you're not consuming enough water, because water is limited. So, but flavoring is really important with the food, and make sure you have a variety. And we too, we have a lot of rice in our storage. We also have a lot of mashed potatoes. I do like the Thrive mashed potatoes, and so our team, we all have a lot of that, so that we can kind of go back and forth. We can have options with that, you know, over just constantly eating rice. And try it. I tell people, you know, you take the food that you are planning on going on, and if your mindset is potted meat, rice and beans, and that's all you're going to stockpile, then you try living on that for just a week. Every single meal, potted meat, rice and beans, you get nothing else, just that. And, you know, and you'll quickly change your mindset on what you're going to put into that food store, and start putting in variety. So that's what we see a lot of people will buy, is just rice and beans and potted meat. Because when you walk into a grocery store during hurricane season, what do they promote? Rice and beans and potted meat. Really, what is your life worth to you? That's what I like to tell people. What is your life worth to you? And then spend on you. Because no one else is really going to take care of you. And you are only going to have what you have prepared for and what God blesses you with as extra. He is giving us all the time to prepare now. If you choose not to prepare now, don't get mad at God if all that comes forth is some rice for you. Okay, but He's giving all of us equal opportunity. So what is your life worth? And head out with that mindset to do the best job you can to provide the best life for yourself and your family as you possibly can if everything else is lost.
Eve, I'm really looking forward to meeting you in Atlanta. And like I said, we're both going to be at the Atlanta Preparedness Expo. That's going to be at the Cobb Galleria, April 22nd. April 23rd and 24th. I've already gotten an email for putting out the wrong date. So it's April 23rd and 24th. So that's a Saturday and Sunday. And, Eve, tell folks where they can find your website and then tell them what to look for when they come to the expo, how they're going to find you there as well.
Okay. Well, our website is, www.tradingpostinthewoods.com. And you can't miss us. If you come to the convention, you will see our big Trading Post in the Woods sign. So we're kind of hard to miss. We do make a showing when we are there. So we are difficult to miss. And of course, if you by chance don't see us, you can ask somebody and they'll be able to direct you to us. But I'm looking forward to meeting you as well. We've never met, and so I am really looking forward to getting to meet you at convention as well.
Absolutely. And then I'll be real easy to find, too. It'll be the big black banner with red, bright red red letters, Prepper Recon. So we'll both be very easy to find. And if you don't find us, check your calendar because it might be the 22nd and there's nobody there on the 22nd.
The 22nd, I believe, is set up. Don't show up on the 22nd. Come the 23rd and 24th.
Eve, thanks for making time for us today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
In Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, Book 1, Behold Darkness and Sorrow, Daniel Walker begins having prophetic dreams about the judgment coming upon America for rejecting God's word. Through one of his dreams, Daniel learns of an imminent threat of an electromagnetic pulse attack, sending the country into a technological dark age. If they want to live, Daniel and his friends must focus on faith, wits, and preparation to be ready before the lights go out. Buy your copy of Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, Book 1, Behold Darkness and Sorrow, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.